Welcome to The Biz Connection, a show dedicated to the education, motivation, inspiration, and empowerment of business entrepreneurs everywhere. Now, here are your hosts, Jim Rossetti and Ron Nielsen.
Okay, and we are talking business once again right here on the radio. I'm your host, Jim Rossetti, and Mr. Ron Nielsen's here in the studio with us.
Good day, everybody.
We got Ron at the controls today, so we'll safe land.
Look out. Look out.
Anyway, we are looking forward to a great interview today. If you love children's books, and if you've your kids got children's books or grandkids or whoever it might be, you're going to love listening to our author today because it's really an interesting one. And before we get to that, a couple of things we wanted to cover and let you folks know. I would like to tell people that there are still SCORE programs being offered all the way up until about the end of May. And then it kind of shuts off for the summer months, and then it comes back in the fall. So SCORE utilizes a place out in Brookfield, Wisconsin, just by Brookfield Square. Folks know where that is, Moreland.
Just behind, I believe,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, just behind. It's called Bishop's Woods. It's just at the Moreland Road exit. And we use Ottawa University, gives over to SCORE their campus so that we can conduct seminars on the weekends, business seminars, and we've been drawing 35, 40 people to those really good ones.
Everything from marketing to how to fill out a business plan and just about everything in between.
Yeah, everything. You're absolutely right. Maybe marketing. Maybe you said marketing. And what about QuickBooks? And
all of that good stuff.
Accounting things and some of the boring stuff. But there's some great stuff there because we give out classes on developing your social media skills and how to incorporate social media into your marketing mix.
That's another tough one.
People struggle with, yes, I do, especially all of us do. Every time I think I got it figured out, there's a new platform out there.
That's right. It moves a lot faster than we do.
And but anyways, I did want to let folks in on a little secret. We finally need to probably share this with folks. We're actually a couple of weeks from ending our radio broadcast. We've been doing it for, what, Ron, 8 years now?
Yeah, 7 or 8 years. 2011, I think.
You were a young guy when we started this.
I don't know about that.
You had hair. You had dark hair.
I probably had more hair, yes.
You're still a pretty good-looking guy. So we've been doing this for about 8 years, and we've had so many people come in and out of the radio studio with us and share business stories that have been just compelling. I really look back over those years, and I'm really kind of sad to see us go. But all things good got to come to an end, right?
As am I. However, I think it's time for both of us to move on, so unfortunately. Yep. But, you know, we'd like to thank everybody out there that's been listening through the years.
Right.
We are definitely in your debt.
Yeah, without those listeners, we couldn't have kept the show going that long. And we want to thank all the sponsors that helped make it possible.
That's right.
To keep the show on the air. And Ron and I have never, I just want to let folks know, they might think we're making $100,000 a year or more than that for doing the show. Maybe you are, Ron.
I absolutely didn't. Haven't.
Neither you or I have ever drawn a penny from doing this show. And we do it as a labor of love because we really care about the small business community and we're volunteers, just like we do at mentoring.
Exactly.
Yeah. We give our services away, and we've really been overjoyed about doing it, and we hoped that the show was going to take off onto a national platform. We did get a couple of radio stations across the country that carried us, and of course, people can hear us anywhere by way of
podcast,
and also on their devices digitally so that we can be heard, but so anyway, folks, we'll be ending our show on the 21st of May of April. That's a Sunday. That last show will air in the Milwaukee marketplace. So just giving you a heads up. And Ron, you got one of your dynamic iconic entrepreneurs that you share every week with us. So,
well, I do, you know, and this is the story of Elon Musk.
Oh,
you know who
yeah,
Elon Musk is?
Sure do. I drive one of his Teslas.
SpaceX.
No, yeah, it's ordered. I haven't gotten it yet.
Well, he's SpaceX co-founder of PayPal, Tesla Motors, and another company called Zip2.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was born in South Africa in 1971. Uh-huh. His parents divorced in 1980. He taught himself computer programming, and at the age of 12, the computer code for a video game called Ballstar for $500. He wrote that.
Oh, okay.
At the age of 17, he moved to Canada and obtained Canadian citizenship. As I said, he was born in South Africa. At the age of 19, he was accepted into a university, Queen's University to be specific, in Kingston, Ontario, for undergraduate study. And in 1992, after spending 2 years at Queen's, he transferred to the University of Pennsylvania, where he eventually received a Bachelor of Science degree in economics from the Wharton Business School.
Ah,
you've heard of that?
Yes, I have. Sure.
In 1995, at the age of 24, he moved to California to begin a PhD in applied physics at Stanford, but left the program after 2 days to pursue his entrepreneurial aspirations in the area of internet, renewable energy, and, of course, outer space. In 2002, he became an American citizen. In 1995, he started Zip2, which was a web software company, with his brother Kimball. The company developed and marketed an internet city guide for the newspaper publishing industry.
Hmm.
Must be something like Google Maps.
Yeah.
Musk obtained contracts with the New York Times, the Chicago Tribune, and persuaded the board of directors to abandon plans for a merger with a company called City Search. Compaq, and I'm not even sure they're around anymore, but it was a computer company.
Yeah.
They acquired Zip2 for $307 million in cash and $34 million in stock options in 1999. So that's how he became ridiculously wealthy. He received 7% or $22 million from that sale. In March of 1999, he co-founded X.com, an online financial services and email payment company. 1 year later, the company merged with Confinity, which had a money transfer service called PayPal. The merged company focused on the PayPal service and was renamed PayPal in 2001. In October 2002, which honestly doesn't seem that far away, you know, back.
I know. I was just a young guy, but
PayPal was acquired by eBay for $1.5 billion in stock. Billion with a B.
That made him even richer.
Of which $165 million was given to Musk. With $100 million of his early fortune, he founded his third company, Space Exploration Technologies, or alias SpaceX. In 7 years, SpaceX designed the family of Falcon launch vehicles from the ground up. In September of 2009, SpaceX Falcon 1 rocket, designed by Musk, became the first privately funded liquid-fueled vehicle to put a satellite into Earth orbit. The SpaceX Dragon vehicle, which now goes up to the International Space Station,
was making
history as the first commercial company to launch and birth a vehicle in the International Space Station, as I said. And they're also working on, I think, the Falcon Heavy.
That wouldn't make him a space cadet, would it?
Well, I don't know. I guess you would probably have to ask him. But
what about the Tesla? I think he's behind that, isn't he?
He is behind Tesla Motors.
Yeah, that car will do everything. It'll drive itself. It'll even do your dishes if you want it to.
I think so. But it's a pretty inspiring story of somebody who, you know, is fabulously wealthy.
Well, a lot of people have them ordered, but I don't know of anybody that's got one yet. Do you?
Well, I think that
maybe there's a prototype or two out there.
I don't really travel in those circles.
You don't? Okay. All right. That's our bit of iconic entrepreneurism as we bring you stories behind who made who famous as entrepreneurs. And we love those stories. Anyway, we got a gentleman in the studio today. He's got his own story. In just a few minutes, we will get to that. But before we do, I have a couple of messages for you, and we'll be right back. I'm here with Margaret Whitcup of Veritas Financial Services. We're talking about retirement income. Margaret, I hear these ads on the radio about guaranteed income. Is this real?
Jim, retirement income is a concern for all of us. There are products out there and firms that like to use the term guaranteed to entice the unaware investor into a sense of complacency. I have yet to find one that doesn't require the investor to give up control of their money and have high costs. There are better ways of achieving your retirement objectives. Maintain control over your financial life. Use your hard-earned money for your needs and your desires, and not be subjected to high costs and loss of liquidity.
Call Veritas 920-893-5262, and they will send you a copy of 20 questions that can lead you to greater peace of mind, and a copy of the book Lies My Broker Taught Me, and 101 Truths About Money and Investing. 920-893-5262.
Or go to our website, veritasinvesting.com.
Owning your own business is one of the most rewarding things you'll ever do. But it certainly isn't easy. For nearly 50 years, business owners have been getting the help they need from SCORE. All for free.
My SCORE mentor helped me take the first step.
He helped me create a business plan and helped me implement it.
SCORE mentors are passionate about sharing their expertise to help small businesses achieve success.
I could not have done it alone.
Whether you're a startup or an existing business, SCORE mentors can help you achieve your goals and help your business grow. With more than 12,000 volunteers with real-world business experience, SCORE is ready and willing to help make your dreams come true.
SCORE helped me to make the unimaginable possible, all for free.
Visit score.org to get started today. SCORE, for the life of your business.
Okay, we are back, and we are talking business right here on the radio. And once again, we got our success tips by the experts. One of the experts is a company called TRG Marketing, which used to be Chad Ritterbush in the group, but they are now TRG Marketing, and he is also the marketing arm of the SCORE chapter in Southeast Wisconsin. So without further ado, let's pose a question to TRG Marketing.
Okay, we're here again today with Mike Schefke of the Ritterbush Group, and I've got a great question here. How can a growing business leverage new tools like websites and search engines?
Yeah, great question there, Ron. What I'm going to start out with is websites, and then we'll touch a little bit on the search engine just after that. But the first thing you want to do is really take a strong look at your website. I recommend that really for any growing business or business that's looking to grow itself in the digital sphere. And when I say strong look, really what you can think about is analyze your website for a couple of important points. First off, if you're on your homepage and someone's visiting you, are they able to know within 3 seconds what business or service it is that you're offering? Because if they don't know that, then you're really in a lot of trouble. Secondly, what you want to make sure is that your navigation is tight. And by that, I mean, can the people that visit your website within 2 to 3 clicks get to any of the pertinent information that they might be interested in? Because if they can't, they're not going to waste their time on your site by looking around for hidden pieces of information. Another thing to really be cognizant of right around this time of year is the mobile sphere. And by that I mean, are your folks getting a good mobile experience when they visit your site on either something like an iPhone or an iPad or a tablet of some sort? Because oftentimes we'll find that some of the websites of today aren't really optimized for a mobile situation, and they're not taking advantage of the fact that most visitors today are visiting websites through some kind of a mobile device like a smartphone or a tablet. And last but not least, I would say regarding websites there, Ron, is that you want to make sure that your content is still on point. Content is always going to be king when it comes to websites. And so for content, what you want to make sure is that your messaging is something that your key audiences are things that they care about. And not only do they care about them, but are they then going to get some kind of enticing action from the message that you're putting out there? You want them to be able to pick up the phone and call you or shoot you an email to get more information. So that's pretty much websites in a nutshell. if I had to boil it down there quickly for you. Regarding something like search engines, well, that is going to talk us a little bit, take us down the road a little bit to talk about paid search. And by paid search, that's real simple. That's like ads that you'll see on like Google or Yahoo or those kinds of search engines. And really, paid search has been around for a while, Ron, and it's really starting to gain momentum now, though, as a lot of smaller and medium-sized businesses, they can see paid search as a really cost-effective way to target specific user groups. And because places like Google and Yahoo, they really care about making some money, they're really going to prioritize paid search as an option for them. And for any company that's willing to invest in paid search, that can really be advantageous. So there you have a little bit there, Ron, on both paid search and some websites.
Okay, and I got to tell you, that is some good information. I hope folks were listening to that. And I got to believe a lot of people have heard it before, but sometimes they don't practice it very well. When I go out and look at websites, and I got to takes me 20 minutes to try to figure out what they're all about. It is so confusing, or so many bells and whistles go off, and so many things to click, and so many things. It just, I don't hang around.
Well, it's one of those
but
things.
But he said 3 seconds.
That's
you got
right.
3 seconds, man.
It's one of those things that's real easy to throw over the fence to somebody who is IT savvy. But, you know, it's a good thing from a user perspective to go out there and look at your website yourself and make sure, just as he said,
you know what I suggest?
It is accessible.
Have a third grader go out there and see how fast they can figure it out, because if they can't, I guarantee you most adults aren't going to be able to.
Well, I can tell you there are a lot of third graders that are smarter than me.
It's true.
When it comes to that stuff.
Okay, and Ron, I got a question for you, sir. I'm going to ask you to identify three characters. Do you know who Bernie, Ebenezer, and Jonah are?
No.
You don't?
No.
Okay. Well, shame on you. You have not read California Cheese, then.
All right. I have not.
But we've got the gentleman here in the studio who authored that book and other children's books, and I want to bring in Mr. Lee Trotta. Lee, welcome to the Biz Connection.
Well, thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I stumped the band over here with Ron. See, I got
That's not difficult to do, by the way.
Yeah, anyway, you know, most of the information I got on you, Lee, was off of your press release Jeff Peterson did for us, and did for you, I guess. And
right. And
he did a great job, you know, identifying what your company is. But you're now authoring children's books, and I don't believe this is the first one. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. This is the third in a series. I started out with something called Florida Cheese,
and
it stars three mice, Jonah, Ebenezer, and Bernie, as we mentioned earlier, who like to travel for cheese. So I have them going from state to state. I may go through all 50 before I'm done.
I love it, because I'm big into children's books because I got two little children that I'm raising, and they love books. And I'm glad they love books, because sometimes I got to drag them off of these devices to get them back into books. But I don't have to work too hard at it. So,
Lee, we were talking about the program that began, and you didn't start out in business writing children's books. In fact, you are a geologist. Is that correct, by trade?
That's right. I'm still a professional geologist, even though I'm retired from any companies that are paying me anymore.
So tell us how that transition. I mean, did you graduate from college with a geology degree, or how did you get to where you are today?
Geology and geophysics was my degree, and I worked for 25 years with the United States Geological Survey, and then moved on to various engineering companies that needed my geologic expertise. But all during that time, I was writing reports, analyzing data, and figuring out the solutions. So once I retired, I still had the writing itch, and my kids had encouraged me to write down the stories that they all loved. So I did that, and got to where they're selling now.
So you got into children's books, and what are the ages, you know, that you typically are writing for in your children's books?
Well, the publisher always asks me to give them an age range, and I usually say 3 to 10, but a 3-year-old really couldn't read it. You'd have to read it to the 3-year-old.
Right.
And I have lots of teenagers that tell me they like them too. So
some of the teenagers might not be able to read it either.
How about some of the adults that are reading it? But you started this as a hobby, Lee? Is that pretty much the way it began?
Basically a hobby. Yeah. I mean, telling stories was, since I was young. I came from a big family. My mother also brought in foster children. She had maybe 200 foster children come to our house.
Wow.
And my job was to help out where I could, which might be
200
telling
not
stories.
At one time, I hope.
No, maybe two at a time. But
two at a time, yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah, so you got well acquainted with, you know, children and children's stories.
And what they liked.
Like yeah. Well, our house is full of kids' books. I got these two kids. We're raising them, and they absolutely got them everywhere. I got to pick them up usually every night. But they read them, and I'm just so glad they're doing it. So I think reading, maybe you can bear me out, from what I understand, statistically today, reading skills is becoming a fast disappearing deficiency is occurring in that world, very much so.
It may not be valued as much as fast fingers on your telephone.
I know.
And that's, or your smartphone or computer, yes.
Right.
It's really sad, too, because even books are being read on, what, Kindles and not even opening pages anymore. But so what kind of, I mean, prompted you to move ahead to go as far as not only writing them, but then going out and marketing them and putting them in the hands of a publisher?
Well, we had decided we would try one book, getting it out there and see what happened. And the thing is, I'm not rich now, so I had to go inexpensive route to do that. Yeah. You can spend thousands to get your book written if you want to do that.
Yeah, I know.
But I couldn't do that. Yeah. So I went with an inexpensive publisher. I did a lot of the work myself, like applying for the copyrights and all this sort of thing.
Wow. Okay.
And it didn't cost me too much. And once I had it out there on the market, I went to the local bookstores who might carry it. Mm-hmm. Most of them did. And I ended up making more money than I spent, so that was a win.
So let me just ask you a question.
Hold on, hold the thought, because we're coming up on a break here. I want to interrupt him if we're going to do that. But our guest today is Lee Trotta, and his company is Globe Trotta Productions. Is that right?
Okay. That is correct.
All right, name of the book is California Cheese. We'll get back to that in just a minute. You're on America's All Business Talk Show on the radio, The Biz Connection. Stay with us, because we are talking children's books. We'll be right back.
Owning your own business is one of the most rewarding things you'll ever do, but it certainly isn't easy. For nearly 50 years, business owners have been getting the help they need from SCORE, all for free.
My SCORE mentor helped me take the first step.
He helped me create a business plan and helped me implement it.
Whether you're a startup or an existing business, SCORE mentors can help you achieve your business goals.
SCORE helped me to make the unimaginable possible.
Visit SCORE.org to get started today.
Marge, I recently heard you say that the average investor in equity mutual funds gets about a 4% return. If the S&P 500 has a return of about 9 to 11%, why is the return so low for most investors?
Jim, that's a great question. Even investors who think they are doing pretty well are not likely even getting close to a total market rate of return. There are several reasons. One that is generally not recognized is that investors ask the wrong questions. An old adage that goes, to get the right answers, you must ask the right questions. We have a list of questions that can help investors make better investing decisions and gain greater peace of mind in their financial life.
All listeners need to do is call our office or go to the website to get a copy of those questions, 920-893-5262, and we'll send you out a copy of the questions and the book, Lies My Broker Taught Me and 101 Truths About Money and Investing. 920-893-5262 or Veritas Investing.
When you dance down the street.
Okay, we are talking business right here on the radio. And Ron, I just wanted to quickly mention before we get on with our interview that Margaret Veritas Financial Services, Margaret Whitcup, had a great event called the American Dream Experience. And for folks that didn't get there, it was at the Performing Arts Center in Plymouth last Friday and Saturday. It was a fabulous event. So Folks, there's more will be coming up later in the year, so if you see it out there, please try to get to this. It's really worth the experience.
That's right. Margaret does a great job, and her team.
Okay, we've been talking children's books. Our guest today is Mr. Lee Trotta, and he's an author, a geologist by profession, I guess, but turned author now. So,
Lee, before break, I was going to ask you a question. We talked about how you got started in the children's book business and publishing and all that. So how long did that actually take to get you to the point where you were actually selling books?
Well, from putting it down on paper to working through all the machinations of a publishing company, it was nearly a year.
Okay.
There is
that's a pretty short time.
Quite a bit involved.
Yeah. I would have thought a couple of years anyway.
Well, I've been able to crank them out one a year.
Did you have a little anxiety going through that for the first time?
Oh, yes. There's always challenges. There's publishers have their own technicalities that you have to meet. And I was not familiar with their business at all, like something called embedded fonts threw me for a loop. But I went to get help to a company called GT Graphics in Sheboygan, and I always like, you know, helping local companies with my money to help me.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
That got me through that little mess and several other messes.
So just out of curiosity, because I have no familiarity with that term, so what does embedded fonts mean?
Well, you know a Word document.
Yes, I do.
So we put the story into a Word document, and then we try sending it to the publisher, and they say, no, we can't take this because it does not have embedded fonts. Mm-hmm. Well, somewhere in your Word documentation, there is a place to flip a switch, which I do not know where it is, but GT Graphics knows.
So what you see in Word is not necessarily what the publishers wanted, is that
right,
correct?
Right, right. They have things like, well, it has to be a certain size, too. Well, PDFs, for instance, always come out 8.5 by 11.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
But they wanted it to be 8 by 8, doggone it. And it was hard to get that to fit. You know, sentences would run off the page, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Eventually you get there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. As you're typing out the copy, it's you're going to go off an 8.5 by 11.
Right.
So they want you to scale this thing down to their specific size. Mm-hmm. So now you found a illustrator, right?
I wouldn't
even know where to begin looking for an illustrator. I mean, where did you go? Yellow Pages? Yellow Pages, listen to me. I'm dating
myself. You have definitely dated yourself. There's a lot of listeners who don't even know what that is.
He Googled illustrators and came up with this lady.
Well, remember, these are children's books, so I went to my daughter, Natalie, to ask her if she knew any. Yeah. She was college age at the time. And this is for the first book. And she put me in touch with a friend of hers out of Madison, who was professional artist and done some work in this area. Mm-hmm. Now I've switched to this at this third book to another illustrator who's right here out of Kohler. Her name is Kara Seaman. Oh, I should tell you the name of the first illustrator just because he's got a great name. His name is Dace Like the Fish.
Like the Fish?
Yes.
That's his actual
name. That's his stage name, or is that the real thing?
It's probably a pseudonym, but that's what he goes by.
Uh-huh. Wow. Never heard of that one before.
But so you got the illustrator, and now so you got sort of a, kind of a you write the copy.
Right. I actually do the illustrations in pen and ink.
Oh, okay.
But then the illustrator, you know, I can't plop colors in and backgrounds like these young kids with computers can.
Yeah.
Therefore, they make them pretty.
So she makes it. Yeah. She dresses up that page and really gives it life.
Right.
So not only did you write, I mean, you decided what pictures went where. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, it's hard work, but someone's got to do it.
Now, it looks like you're out doing, you know, book fairs, and you said you found local bookstores were pretty open to carrying the book for you. Did you do any book signings yet?
I have. Now, not on the California cheese. I should mention that April 6th is my big book launch, so.
Okay.
Yay.
Okay.
That's
plug this.
Cooper Elementary School gym, and hopefully we'll have 1,000 people there waiting in line.
So you better tell us where...
All wanting to buy a book? and wanting to meet the author.
That's you better right. tell us where Cooper Elementary is.
Well, it is in Sheboygan on 2014 Cooper Avenue. So it's right off of the main business highway or Calumet Avenue.
Okay.
And what time is that? You'll be there?
Yeah. Between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m.
9 to 2, okay.
There'll be more right. than me there, but I'm the main attraction.
And you can get your autograph copy, is
that
right?
Right? That's right.
Well, you're at Bookheads. You're in Bookheads over here.
Yes.
And I know that lady, and she'll probably do a book signing with you. I think she does them over there.
She has been very helpful, yes. So. I have to wait until after the launch to hand her the books, but yes.
Yeah, yeah. So now when you... when you get the books finished and you get everything to the publisher, they go ahead and print them off in big quantities? How do they do that?
The one I go with is a on-demand printer.
Okay.
So
okay.
they, if some store calls them, they'll print as many as they need. If I call them, they'll print as many as I need. And usually I only get maybe 30 at a time to go to a book festival or something like that.
Back in the old days, you probably had to print up thousands and not knowing if they're going to sell them or not sell
right,
them.
Right, then you end up with a closet full of books that never sold.
Right, right.
Yeah. So, Lee, let me ask you a question. When you order those books or when a bookstore orders those books, you have to pay for the books you order. Is that correct?
When I order them to come to me, I pay, and yes, there often isn't a whole lot of profit involved here, but still... I have to price the book at a point where I am making a profit.
Okay, and what about book company or book stores or whatever? Then they actually have to pay for the books, is that correct?
They have to pay for them, but they make maybe 30%.
Do you get a royalty off of those or anything? Or
I do whenever anybody buys a book. You know, sometimes people can even buy them over Amazon, but I prefer the local brick-and-mortar places if possible.
Yeah.
So is that how you marketed the book, basically through all local companies or local stores?
Yes, depending on which book we're talking about. But the publisher I go through, once I get it into their format, they will automatically place it at Barnes & Noble and Amazon so people can refer to it and buy it if they wish. When I did the second book, Wisconsin Cheese, I also marketed by traveling to almost every cheese factory in the state because they would place some in their retail shops normally.
Well, you know, I'm talking to this cheese counter over here, which is, you know, Plymouth is the cheese capital of the
That's
world.
That's right.
And I'm looking about doing an event, and wouldn't it be nice if we could somehow tie it in with you and your book about cheese, too? It'd be kind of cute.
That would be fun. I love it.
You actually were looking for you know, that the book would not only bring you book sales, but speaking engagements, too, that could generate revenue your
That's
way.
That's right. Yeah. As I mentioned, there really isn't a lot of profit per book sold.
Right, right.
But this last one, California Cheese, is more educational than most of the books I've had before. There's actual problem solving going on in there that would lend itself to lesson plans at a school or even at a business. Of course, I come from a problem solving background as a geologist too. So if I could land a few speaking engagements, that would be a bit more profit than just a book sold.
Yeah, it's so you. I mean, there's many things that the book can lead to, like speaking engagements and maybe even radio shows like this one or TV shows or stuff like that. You know, being interviewed and ways to market the book that are basically good opportunities for you, too. Now, you said a series. How far do you want to go with the series?
It depends on if they're profitable. I always check to make sure that I haven't spent more than I get back. And
more income than outgo.
I actually don't think I'm going to get to the other 47 states I haven't hit yet. But we'll go as long as I've got the energy.
Well, you know, if our friends out in California get excited, they're an interesting bunch out in that part of the part of the world.
Yes.
So, that could spark a lot of speaking engagements. I could see that.
Yes. Well,
as you do states and incorporate them in these children's books.
I've put a few feelers out there to the California residents that might be interested in children's books.
Yeah.
And even on the back cover of the California Cheese book, I have a review coming from a Hollywood choreographer who I just happened to know. Cheryl Baxter is her name, but she gave a real nice review.
But even getting into schools and maybe libraries and being able to, do speaking engagements, and it's got to, add some more to you, a little more flame to that fire. Hold the thought, because we are coming up on a break here today. We're talking with Lee Trotta. His company is Globe Trotta Productions. His book is California Cheese. And children's books. We'll be back right after a message or two, so stay with us, because we're coming right back.
I'm here with Margaret Whitcup of Veritas Financial Services. We're talking about retirement income. Margaret, I hear these ads on the radio about guaranteed income. Is this real?
Jim, retirement income is a concern for all of us. There are products out there and firms that like to use the term guaranteed to entice the unaware investor into a sense of complacency. I have yet to find one that doesn't require the investor to give up control of their money and have high costs. There are better ways of achieving your retirement objectives. Maintain control over your financial life. Use your hard-earned money for your needs and your desires, and not be subjected to high costs and loss of liquidity.
Call Veritas 920-893-5262, and they will send you a copy of 20 questions that can lead you to greater peace of mind, and a copy of the book Lies My Broker Taught Me, and 101 Truths About Money and Investing. 920-893-5262.
Or go to our website, veritasinvesting.com.
For many Americans, owning your own business is a dream come true. And many business owners rely on help from others to reach their potential. That's where SCORE comes in. With more than 12,000 volunteers ready and willing to help businesses succeed.
SCORE is a nonprofit organization where we provide free business consulting services to people who want to start a business already in business.
For nearly 50 years, SCORE mentors have been helping businesses get off the ground, achieve their goals, and realize their dreams.
What's even better than dreams is making a dream come true.
Come join us and help tomorrow's business success stories unfold today. Your advice and expertise can make all the difference in the world.
I believe one person can make a difference.
Small business owners need you.
Volunteer your expertise. You've got it. Share it.
Volunteer your expertise today at score.org.
All right. Good night, my love. All right. That's why our show is going to say good night, our love. But anyway, we are talking business. Our guest today is Lee Trotta, and his book, California Cheese, is new out, and his company, Globe Trotta Productions, which is a little play on words. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's amazing that was open for you to be able to take on that that name. And
good things happen.
Well, you've also mentioned a famous mouse in the book, but you don't use that mouse's name. We'll keep him nameless. MM will be far as we'll go.
Okay.
I think everybody can figure that one out.
Right. Well, there had to be some incentive for my mice to want to head out to California.
Yeah. Is a publisher constantly on you for making sure you don't infringe any other intellectual properties and stuff?
Oh, there were things in Wisconsin cheese, like I wanted to use a picture of the wiener whistle out of Oscar Mayer.
Yeah.
No, can't do that.
Really? Really? I would have thought they would have liked the publicity.
Well, I thought so too.
So how did you find out about that? I mean, did that come about after you had the book written, or
no,
did you?
I always write letters ahead of time when there's something that might be questionable, and they came back with that. No.
Yeah, yeah. Why? Well, yeah, it might be okay, but they don't want to. They don't want to, infringe or take a step in the water.
I suppose.
Yeah.
I suppose.
They're just being overly cautious, I guess. But anyway, we, as other people listen, I think it's fascinating, that what you've done here turned into a business and a hobby, and that's usually the way people get into. You've had a great career in geology, and now you've transitioned over to a career in author, children's author, and so it's a whole new beginning for you. Huh?
Yeah. Yes, it is, and. I really enjoy the interactions with the children when I go to book festivals and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean,
I've always loved reading the stories, so mm-hmm. it's a win-win.
Do you actually let them gather around and read the stories to them?
Yes, I do. I put up a little sign, storytelling, right here.
Well, Jim, you know, one of the things I'd like to at least point out, I mean, you know, as my career as a business coach or whatever, a lot of things they encourage you to do is become an expert in your field. And one of the ways to become an expert is to write a book. Mm-hmm. So I would like to encourage, you know, individuals to maybe contact Lee. You could probably help them work through some of the hurdles they might have to overcome in that whole process. I mean, to write a book in and of itself is intimidating, but then all of the things that go along with it would be doubly intimidating.
You know, you made a couple of mentions, Lee. You don't write the book to make a whole lot of money. Books really probably don't return a whole, you know, big fortune to you. Maybe John Grisham or some of the people, you know, with on at New York Times best-selling list, stuff like that.
Right. But once you hit the bestseller list, then maybe you're making money.
Yeah, but it can lead to a lot of other open doors.
Right.
And that's what I've heard. Ron and I have had several authors on the radio show, and they said almost the same thing you did. And so I think you share that with her. But the nice thing is, kind of a labor of love. You obviously love what you're doing. And it brings joy to a lot of kids' lives.
That's the important thing, as far as I know. I would say for anybody who's thinking about writing, go ahead and put your idea down on paper. And takes a lot of work to get to the stage I'm at, and a thick skin to take those editorial comments and not, ball up into a...
Yeah, you at some point you go, wait a minute, maybe I made a mistake, you know, you keep getting... But look, did you write a business plan of some sort when you got started with this, or...?
I did. Uh-huh. I mean, I've been to business classes and knew what a business plan was, so I put a general business plan down, and I've been following it fairly successfully without spending a whole lot of money in the process.
Right. Well, that's good because, I've heard a lot of other authors that are self-published. And now you found a publisher, though, that picked up the book, which is good.
Right. Yeah. It's a publisher that, for the actual publishing process, you hand them your book in the format they want. They'll only charge you $49. Mm-hmm. Then they'll print it out whenever anybody wants one and charge you per book after that.
Okay, that's how they make their money on it.
Well, I got kind of an interesting question. I've always wanted to ask an author this. When you start out with a book, I mean, what is the process? Do you start with an outline? Do you know how it's actually going to end? Or do you just kind of freelance and go down the road and then suddenly decide it's going to be closed or over in a few pages? How do you do that?
Well, the first ones were basically telling stories off the cuff to kids. Mm-hmm. And once I got positive feedback, well, then I sort of formalized it a little bit more. Well, now there's got to be more of a beginning to this and more of an end and that sort of thing.
And then you fill in the middle.
Yeah.
So you do have an idea now, after having done it, how the book is going to end.
Right. There has to be certain parts of a book in order to make it successful. So you have that in mind as you're going along, yes.
Interesting.
Kind of what my dad did when I was a kid. He said, I'll tell you a story of Jack and Maury, and now my story's begun. I'll tell you another about his brother, and now my story is done. Okay. And that's as far as he ever got.
Well, at least he had that.
He had that, yeah. So, would often wonder, you know, in coming up with the idea may have been tested out on a group of kids. And then, hey, let's put a beginning and an end to this and make it more of a story for them. So, but it's got to be, you got to love what you do. I think that, don't you agree?
Yeah. Well, I do. I mean, other people may love other things more than writing children's stories, but children's stories are high on my list.
Yeah. Well, that's somebody's got to put children. Many times I've gone through these little book fairs with the kids, and they're always picking out books, and I wonder who the origin of this book or where the idea came from, and always wanted to meet book writers like this, especially kids' books. Because a lot of people are going to jump right in. I don't want to be dealing with kids. I want to go right to the... I'm an expert at what I... But kids' books are, to me, are just they got to be there. If they weren't there, it wouldn't be a fun world.
Right. If you can put a smile on a child's face, you've yeah. accomplished something.
That is so true. And as I sit down with the kids and they're reading me these books, I am, and I just say, isn't it great that this exists out there? Otherwise, these kids would be going through, Jack jumped over the fence, rode the horse, drove the car, blah, 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 you know.
Well, you know, it's so important because the world today has become so visual with videos yeah. and everything. It's real easy to skip over the ability to read. And as you said, yeah. that is such an important skill
right.
For people to be able to, you know, be able to do at any age.
As far as I'm concerned, it begins with kids' books. If right. you encourage kids' books to your kids, it gets them into that habit of reading. And it is a learned habit.
It is.
And if you put a device in their hands, they're going to get into that world. And not that that's terrible, but it's, you know, addictive. Mm-hmm. Addictive. And I really think reading is a lost or becoming a losing art. It's too bad, really.
I like to put a few challenges yeah. into my children's books. So, like, they may be reading it themselves until they get to a word, and then the parent helps them,
right.
like when they get to Gorgonzola. But they enjoy learning that word.
I got to tell you, some of these words
I can't even spell it.
Stump me. Let me ask you. You know, I think you've given off some business tips already, in just what you said. But somebody sitting there listening, going, "Yo, I'd love to do something like that. Maybe not kids' books, but maybe this genre of book." Mm-hmm. Any advice you could give somebody that is sitting there with an idea?
Well, we've gone over some of the publishing processes and that, but
right.
one thing we really didn't mention is your marketing. I mean, mm-hmm. I thank you much for having this radio interview, but
yeah.
you really have to put some time in. I've used Pedal Down Promotions in marketing
yeah.
all three of my books.
It right.
started small, but
Jeff Peterson, yeah.
Jeff Peterson, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
And you have to do some effort there. If you can do it yourself, that's one thing, but you'll probably run yourself ragged. Any help you can right. get is good.
Go out and enlist that help, because you're going to need some PR. Yeah, mm-hmm. book has got to get out there. It can't just sit in your hands as a rough draft.
Nobody knows about it. It's not going to do that well.
That's right. And that's what people forget. Oh, they say eventually millions will be acquainted with it. Well, how are those millions going to get acquainted with it unless mm-hmm. you put that effort into it? But fascinating stuff. Lee, I hope you keep doing this, and I think you probably will, as long as you can, anyway.
That's right.
And I want to thank you for coming on to the Biz Connection and talking today with it. So,
thank you.
Folks will be able to pick up the show on five radio stations, so we'll send out a little blast of where they can go and do that. But
so, Lee, if people wanted to get a hold of you, where can they go? You say you have a Facebook page. Is that it?
I do. The Facebook page is called Florida Cheese. So just put that up in your search bar, and you'll find information about my books. I write a little poetry.
Yep.
You'll find a little of that in there, and things to make you happy.
Florida Cheese. Okay. Well, that's our show for this week, and we want to thank you once again for listening. And we'll be back for a couple of more weeks on the Biz Connection, so stay with us. We will see you next week, or you'll hear us next week.